good to be with you again here in Methil to share the message of the gospel. We're going to read two verses, and one of them's already been quoted tonight by our brother Stephen, but we're going to read first of all in Proverbs and chapter number 20, please. Proverbs and chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20, and we're going to read verse number 9. The wise man Solomon, he asks this question: who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Let's read that again. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Then over to the New Testament, to John's first epistle and chapter number 1. First John chapter number 1. We'll read the last set of verses from verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, that is the Lord Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's really that last phrase from verse number 7 that I want you to remember from this portion. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, from all sin. I'm sure God will bless to us the public reading of his word this evening. I would like to look with you very simply at these two verses that we've read together. I want us to consider this question that the wise man Solomon, the richest man I think that ever lived on our planet, and he had been given great wealth by the God of heaven, and he had everything at his disposal, and he was the wisest man that ever lived on our earth, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he still had to ask this question. And I want to maybe break it down into three questions, just really for us to feel the weight and the force of the question that he's asking. He says, who can say? Who can say? And I want to think about a universal problem. Who can say? You see, it's a question about sin in the verse that we're reading together, and it's a universal problem. But then he goes on to say, who can say, I have made my heart clean? And I want to think with you not only that it's a universal problem, but I want you to understand that this is a personal problem. I have made. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? And it's a question of sin, but it's a question for your heart tonight. It's a question for every single soul that sits in this room. I want you to forget about the person sitting next to you and all the folks that you might think about that are outside this building. And I want you to just sit yourself for a moment with your own heart and your own mind and presence yourself in the very presence of the Holy God of Heaven, because He's here tonight and He's interested in every single heart that's in the meeting. And He wants you to ask this question of yourself: have I made my heart clean? And thirdly, I want to think now not only of a universal problem and an individual problem, but I want to think about tonight that there is a solvable problem. You see, this problem of sin that you and I have, that every one of us have, none of us can say, I am pure from my sin. I haven't done anything myself that can take away my sin. In fact, I only get worse, and it only seems to get deeper, and it only seems to bind me more. And I can't do anything about it, but I've come to tell you tonight, dear friend, that the verse that we read in John's letter is the most beautiful verse in the world. For anybody that's got their sin burdening their heart, whose conscience that it's taking them away from God and it's going to keep them out of heaven, these words are so precious. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, God's only Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, dear friend in the meeting tonight, this is a question of sin, yes. This is a question for your heart, yes. But this is a question that has only one answer. And it's only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all because He's the one that shed His precious blood. You see, dear friend, when the Bible talks about blood in the Bible, and when the Scriptures refer to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just causing us to think about His death. That's really what the writer John here is telling us. When He shed His blood, you see, our life's in our blood, isn't it? If we didn't have blood, we wouldn't be alive. And if the life is gone, if the blood is shed, then the person has died. Well, our beloved Lord Jesus, and we're going to come to think about it, Christ died for our sins. And tonight we are able to tell you, and every person on our planet, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from every sin, every kind of sin, every amount of sins. Tonight, dear friend, He's interested in taking away your sin, the consequences of it, the power of it, and the very fact that it's going to keep you out of heaven. I trust tonight you've come, and I trust you're concerned about your sin. You see, my God was sufficiently concerned about your sin and mine that He was willing to send His only Son. His Son, it says in our verse, His only well-beloved Son, His only begotten Son. He sent Him to die on Calvary's cross that you and I might have every sin taken away. And the question of sin, the whole principle of sin, to have a new master in your life. You see, dear friend, we're going to think in these verses, who can say this universal problem that we have? It's a matter for everybody in the meeting tonight to think about it. Believer and unbeliever, I want everyone in the meeting to think that sin is a serious thing. It's a serious problem. It's a matter for everybody. You see, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans, doesn't he? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there are none that do good. No, not one. There are none righteous. No, not one, he tells us. And every single one of us, from the wisest and richest man like Solomon, who had everything at his fingertips, he couldn't deal with the matter of his sin himself. All his money couldn't pay about it. All his good works couldn't deal with it. All his wisdom had only tortured him to think about it. But praise God, he knew that in the shedding of blood there was the remission of sin. The forgiveness of sin was found in shed blood. He had learned that all his life from his father David. And everyone else, as you look back in the Old Testament, from the very beginning, God has taught us that there needs to be the shedding of blood for the covering of sin. You remember what God did when Adam and Eve fell in the garden? He took those animals and he slew them and he covered them. He was able to cover them and hide their shame. By the shedding of blood, a life had to be given. And every single one of us, whether we're rich like Solomon or poor like the man that was burying at the wayside when the Lord Jesus passed that day, it doesn't really matter this afternoon or this evening, dear friend. Every single one of us were guilty in the sight of God. For there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now he says to us here, who can say? I trust there is no one in the room tonight who are saying or boasting of what they have done to get to heaven, to earn favour with God. You see, Paul tells us that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing that we can boast about. There's nothing that we can say. There's nothing that we can offer God to tell him to forget about our sins. Dear friend, it's a serious matter for our God. You see, we read in John's epistle, didn't we? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is absolutely holy. And there's naught that defileth can ever enter into God's fair heaven. And you and I, we need to deal with this problem of our sin. And I trust tonight there's no one in the room who feels that they can offer anything to God and who can say they have done something to earn their way to heaven. Maybe you haven't said it to anybody else verbally. Maybe you have just in your own heart said to yourself, well, God will surely take account of this thing that I've done. And God will surely take into account, I've gone to this church or I've gone to that gospel hall or whatever it might be you're telling in your heart. Oh, dear friend, the wise man Solomon, he says twice over in that little book of his, in the book of Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You see, dear friend, please understand this. Please turn away from your own things and your own doings, because it will only end in death. You see, it's really only the continuation of sin if you try and work your way to God's heaven. Because if you and I could have earned our way, or worked our way, or behaved our way to heaven, then the Lord Jesus Christ would never have had to leave the glory of heaven and come right down onto our planet and go all the way to Calvary's cross and there on that center tree to die in agony and shame. He would have never needed to do that if you and I could have ever said anything or did anything to earn our way to heaven. Dear friend, don't imagine you're pleasing God with anything that you do or anything that you say. All he wants to hear you say is, I'm a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. That's all he wants to hear from your lips tonight, dear friend, from your heart, because it is a heart matter. That brings it personal, doesn't it? Yes, it is a universal problem. There isn't a soul on the whole planet that deserves God's fair heaven. But tonight, dear friend, God is asking you, by yourself, just where you are, a question directed to your heart. You see, it's your heart that is the problem. It's your heart and its affection that it's the problem. Your heart really is the seat of your soul. It's the seat of your affections. And it really tells God what you think about him and about his son and what you think about sin. Do you love it? Is your sin something that you roll as a sweet morsel under your tongue? Is it something that when you're alone that you enjoy and there are things that entertain you? But your heart, dear friend, tonight, God is interested in your heart. He's interested on the throne of your heart. And I wonder tonight, who is sitting on the throne of your heart? Who is master and Lord of your life? You see, this is a heart matter. You see, it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. If you want to be righteous, if you want to be holy, if you want to be fit for heaven, then it's with your heart you'll need to believe. You see, the Apostle Paul reminds us, doesn't he? He reminds us that those who want to be saved, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, do you really believe in your heart that my Saviour died and was buried and is now raised again and sits at God's right hand as a Prince and a Saviour, able and willing to save, because he died for sinners like you and for me? Oh, dear friend, this is a matter for your heart personally. And God is looking down right into your heart tonight. And he sees every heart that's sitting in the meeting tonight. And he knows just exactly what you think of my Saviour. Can I ask you tonight? Do you love him? Or do you love your sin more? You see, this is what God is interested in. He wants your heart to be single. You can't have Christ and your sin. They're not compatible, dear friend. He is absolutely holy, and the things that he loves and the things that he does and the purposes of his plans are all based around his character. And if you want your sin, you can't have him. But if you haven't him, you'll never get to heaven. Oh, dear friend, don't think that you can have your sin and have Christ as well. Don't listen to your own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You alone can look into your heart, and you know the kind of dark thoughts that you've had. You know the kind of things that you have thought, and the kind of things that you may have even led yourself to do, convincing yourself it was all right, until you hurt someone, or even you hurt yourself. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. Dear friend, sin is a terrible thing, and it will ruin your life. Not only will it separate you from God and from heaven, but it will cause you to do things in this life of yours and cause misery and agony and shame. But your heart, it's desperately wicked. By nature, we're born in sin. We're almost raised on it. And we love it so. The flesh, this body of ours, we just love it. But God hates it. But praise God tonight, God loves the sinner. He loves you and he loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, dear friend, you see, sin is that thing that ruins your heart. It's that thing that gives you affections and love for things and lust for things and addiction for things that you really don't want to be involved in. Sin pollutes the heart. Sin can pain the heart. Sin is what causes us all to pass away from time into eternity. For sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. You see, dear friend, the wages of sin is death. That's why this message is so urgent and so solemn, dear friend, in the meeting. It's a possible thing that tonight you could go out into eternity and out to meet your Maker. I wonder, dear friend, if sin is going to permanently separate you from God. Or are you going to turn to the one who has shed his precious blood, who has given his own life, that we who are guilty sinners can have this problem, although our global problem,
It's a personal problem. And I wonder tonight in the meeting, if you have a desire in your heart to have it cleansed. Do you have a desire in your heart to have fellowship with God and to go to His fair heaven? Or do you want to wallow in your sin and allow it to conquer your life and then to separate you in the blackness of darkness forever, away from God, away from everything, away from everybody? Oh, dear friend, you'll be left alone with your heart for all eternity, breaking, ruin, regretting that you never did something about your sin. Oh, dear friend, tonight, you see, the wise man Solomon, he's asking this question tonight, and he's asking you again, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Because Solomon knew that although he couldn't do it himself, and although nobody in his court could help him, and none of his wise men or none of his physicians could help him at all, he knew that he could have his heart made clean. And tonight we rejoice to tell you, tonight in 2016, still God is able to make your heart clean. He's able to give you a brand new life. He's able to give you a new affection and a love for things that are holy and things that are of heaven. And He'll cause you to live a new kind of life. You see, purity is required. You have to understand that, don't you? For God commandeth all men everywhere to repent of their sin. This isn't an optional extra, dear friend. God isn't giving you the choice. He's commanding all men everywhere to repent of their sin. And if you don't repent, then He will be absolutely just as the holy judge of heaven to separate you from Him and all the blessings of eternal life and a home in heaven and all the things that God has got laid up for them that love Him. Dear friend, purity is required. Purity is the standard. There's nothing less than a pure heart will get into God's fair heaven. And that's why we, when we look in our own heart, if you look in your own heart, you know just exactly you don't come up to God's standard. There was only one man that ever lived on our earth that had a pure heart from the day that he was born even till the day that he died. And even in the tomb, death couldn't hold him because God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. And He raised him again. And there's a man in heaven tonight who has had all the sin of the world burdened and laid upon him, but still his heart is still absolutely pure. And that's why his blood, that's why his life counts for something with God. Because his blood can cleanse us tonight. Purity is possible because his blood cleanses from every sin. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, do you understand that purity is required? You need to agree with God about sin. That it needs to be fled from. It needs to be turned from. It needs to be repented from. And agree with God about His Son. That He alone is good enough to pay the price of sin. That He alone can unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And if you come to Him, He will be able to cleanse that heart of you and give you a new life, and give you eternal life now. You don't have to wait till you die to get eternal life. Those in the room who have already trusted Him, we already have eternal life beating within our breast. You see, he that hath the Son hath life. But dear friend, he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth. on Him. Purity is possible tonight. This problem of your sin, it can be solved. But you need to turn from your sin. You need to agree with God that it's something that isn't worth holding on to. And you want to flee from it. And you must turn to Him. You know, the wise man, he was asking, who can say? I noticed John in this chapter that we read, three times over he says, if we say. You see, as we mentioned earlier on, there might be folks in the room tonight, and I trust there's nobody here that says, in verse number 6 it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, dear friend, we've said already, you can't have your sin and Christ. You can't have fellowship with light and walk in darkness. You can say anything you like, but the proof of the pudding that you are a Christian, that you are bound for heaven, is the fact that your life has changed. You see, this salvation that we preach, it's a real thing. It's not just something, a badge to have to put on the wall. It's something that changes your whole life. And instead of walking in darkness and going after the things that you used to have and all the addictions that you maybe used to fall foul of, if you have this true light in your heart and this true life, then you won't any longer walk in darkness. Do you have a desire to read this book, the Word of God? Do you have a desire to have fellowship with other Christians? That's a good sign that you have Christ in your heart. If you want to walk in the light and want to walk with other Christians, that is where you'll find true fellowship in this world. Yes, this world is dark. This world has nothing to offer, dear friend. It will entertain you, but it will never satisfy you, and it will never take you to heaven. But if you want true fellowship, if you want true friendship, if you want true companionship, you must come to the Saviour, and you will be able to say, my sin is taken away. I noticed in verse 8 too, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You see, that's how serious it is, dear friend. You might be able to kid on the folks that are sitting in the seats around about you. You might be able to pretend to your neighbour or to the rest of your family that you're a Christian and bound for heaven. But you're only really deceiving yourself if you say you have no sin. You see, there's not one of us without sin. And John is speaking to the believers here in this epistle. We shouldn't forget that. And every one of us in the room tonight, none of us can say we have no sin. It's the greatest battle of our life as a Christian to walk like he walked and try and walk a sinless life that he did. It should be the abnormal thing for a Christian to sin, but we're still human. We still have the flesh upon us. But dear friend, tonight, don't deceive yourself. When you stand by yourself in the presence of the Lord Jesus for the first time, you will have no one else to kid. You will have no one to pretend to. For the one that will be looking into your heart knows everything about you. And everything about your life will be written down in the books that he has recorded. And you won't be able to say anything that day. Because everything that is written there will be absolutely true. Whether we're a believer or an unbeliever, at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll all stand before him. Praise God, it's not a day of judgment for us in that sense. It's a day of reward for what we have done for him. But dear friend, tonight, if you're in your sin and you do not have your heart cleansed, then you'll stand before the Lord Jesus himself. And the marks of Calvary will still be in his hand. And you will have to bow your head in shame for not accepting the one who shed his own blood, who died for you on that center tree.
Verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. You see, dear friend, that's how serious this is. If you think you have never sinned and you have never deserved God's judgment, you're calling God a liar. And no man can call God a liar and live. Oh, dear friend, it's a serious thing, this. It's important that you are made pure, that your heart is cleansed. Yes, purity is required. Purity is the standard. Purity is possible. But it's not just purity for today, or just for this week, or even for the rest of this year. Praise God, when he cleanses you forever. He cleanses you for eternity. And no one, and nothing will be able to point the finger at you anymore. And when he places you in his presence, cleansed everywhere, neither the devil, nor any other person, nor even God himself, will be able to say anything about you, for he will present you before his Father, holy, harmless, and undefiled, and just made like unto his only Son, and you will be there with him. Dear friend, what Christ did at Calvary dealt with sin, in the singular, you notice I'm saying, dealt with sin, the whole question of sin, the whole principle of sin. God isn't asking you to think and remember of every single one of your sins. He wants you in your heart to be finished with sin altogether. And therefore, you'll stop practicing sins in that way. Now, we as believers, we need to confess our sins because we need to keep and maintain a fellowship with God. But dear friend, in the meeting tonight, when we get to heaven, there will be no more sin. We will be delivered from the presence of sin altogether. And we will go in to sin no more, to sigh no more, to cry no more. There will be no more tears or anything like that, for sin will no longer be the question. But seriously tonight, dear friend, if there is no sin in heaven, I want you to remember that there is no sin in hell. There will be no more broken commandments there. There will be no more living in pleasure in sin there. You will be left alone with your heart, regretting for eternity, and longing that someone would just dip a drop of water on your tongue, for it will be torment for all eternity. That's how serious sin is. But dear friend, if you decide to get rid of it, and if you turn to my Saviour and trust him, and take him as your Lord and Saviour, and put him upon the throne of your heart, then he will lift you out of your sin, and he will help you conquer your sin. He will help you live for him. And one day he will come to the air and take you to be with him. And even if death comes and we go into death, we go to be with him, which is very far better. And one day we'll be in his presence, where there is fullness of joy, where there is things really our heart and minds and imaginations can't even get our head round just now. Oh, the things that are laid up for them that love him. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, make it an urgent matter. Make it a priority of your heart tonight to get right with the holy God of heaven and realize that what Christ did at Calvary's cross, when in agony and shame he hung there on that center tree, he died there for you. He died there for me. And although the sin of the world was laid upon him, for you to come into the good of it, dear friend, you have to realize that he died there for you personally. And trust him tonight, and he'll do far better for you than this world will ever do. And he will satisfy you and he will take you to be with him for all eternity. May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we bow in thy holy presence tonight. In the precious name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee again, our Father, for this time we've had together around thy word. We thank thee for every soul that is bowed in thy presence. Our Father, we know that thou dost see and understand every heart that is here. Thou knowest every question. Thou knowest every burden. We long, our God and Father, tonight, that there will be no one in this room who will go out of this building without their sins, many all forgiven, and without trusting the Saviour. We long, our Father, tonight, that thou wilt grant unto some poor soul this very night the joy of knowing their sins forgiven and the assurance of knowing that heaven someday will be their home. So our Father, have us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray, and bless us until we meet again, or until our Lord Jesus shall come, as we give thee thanks again for him in his wonderful name.